Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. The message tonight is a one-word title. And that word is forgive. When you get to Colossians chapter 3, let's all stand. I'm going to read with you two verses. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, "Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Let's pray. Dear Lord, please, as always my prayer, let me decrease and let you increase. Lord, speak through me tonight. I can't do this without you, but Lord, this has been on my heart real heavy. Lord, thank you for a preacher that's in tune enough to give me opportunities to stand in this pulpit. Please, Lord, bless this tonight. And I pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Reading these verses, you realize one very important thing. As Christians, we are supposed to forgive. As Christians, we are supposed to forbear. The Bible says, as Christ forgave, so also do ye. Real simple. He forgave you, you ought to forgive others. The Bible says, if you don't forgive, then He won't forgive your trespasses. Now, does that mean He won't save you? That has nothing to do with that. Trespasses are an everyday thing. You don't want to get chastened. Forgiveness is like a staying the hand of God card for a minute, maybe. When you decide to forgive somebody and you decide to forbear what they have done to you, I'm telling you, your life will be a lot easier. As Christians, we're obligated to do this. Did you know that? Amen. As part of the elect, that's what that verse is talking about. We're obligated to forgive. Yeah. Yeah. Now, let me tell you, there's some things that's happened in my life. Not recently, but over the last years. I believe I've got a little handle on forgiveness. When I first started looking into forgiveness, I had it wrong. I believe that if they weren't ready to be forgiven, then I couldn't forgive them, and I'll drop the subject. Let me go over a couple things with you that the Scripture, I believe, teaches, and I believe it'll help us out. As Christians, we are duty-bound and obligated to forgive others. There are three different types of folks that we have to be willing to forgive. The first couple, I believe, are easy. The last one's not so easy, but we still ought to forgive them. The first one, now hold on to this, folks. Don't tune me out. Hear me out tonight. I believe that this first one will help more lives than the rest of the whole message. But you got to get this first one. Three types of folks you got to be able to forgive in your Christian life. The first one, you've got to be able to forgive yourself. You've got to be able to forgive yourself. Yes. You've got to be able to look at Matthew chapter 22 and verse 34. I want you to look at this with me. Matthew chapter 22. Starting in verse 34, the Bible says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.' Listen to this now. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The second one of those is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Last week in Sunday school class, I talked to my folks about this very thing. The Bible expressly tells you that you should love yourself. Now, what I'm not saying in a vain way. Don't misread me. What I'm saying is this. When you look at yourself in the mirror in the morning, do you like what you see? That's quiet, isn't it? I'm not talking about your physical appearance. I'm ugly. I have to throw up every morning just like you do. Do you like what you've become? The Bible says to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, Brother Brian, I wouldn't treat my neighbors the way I treat myself sometimes. Oh, I'm just a dirty, rotten sinner. Would you go over to your neighbor's house and say, you're a dirty, rotten sinner? Think about this for a minute. Folks, you've got to be able to get over the guilt of being a sinner. You've got to be able to get through, and you've got to be able to realize that Jesus Christ forgave you of that sin. He's forgiven you of your past. Do I want you to forget your past? I don't believe you should forget your past. I don't. I believe you should put it behind you, but I believe that you should make it part of what you have become. Because if you make it part of what you become, creatures are from the streets. Street has become part of what he is, for good or bad. But he's a man of God of this church. And Christ has used him as he is for his express purpose. See, what you've got to understand is you're not supposed to be somebody that you're not. Do you understand that? Christ has made you. The Bible says he is. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you know that that did not stop with your conception? You're fearfully and wonderfully made today. The Bible wants you to forgive yourself of your past and move on to your bright future with Christ. He wants you to be able to step beyond what you are today and what you have been back in the past. Well, my past keeps haunting me. I tell you what, look that ghost in the eye and say, boo! Amen. Because you can't serve God with guilt.
Right.
The devil uses guilt. He's very, very smart.
Right.
And he uses guilt. Let me explain something to you. Our lives patterned a lot after each other, preachers and I. And I'm, by no means am I saying I'm like him. I'm not. I hope to attain that someday. But I'm not. But let me tell you this. When I was a kid, I was a drinker. It was part of my life. I can go the rest of my life, Lizzie, holding on to that truth that I was that and stop myself from going forward. Because how in the world could I possibly step forward knowing that that was my past? Then I got to realize something. You know what, folks? Every one of us has got a problem. Every one of us has had a problem. God did not use people that didn't have problems. Did you know that, Brother Tom?
You're right.
Nowhere in history did God ever grab a guy that didn't have a problem.
You're right.
Hold on to that. God never searched through the whole, all the crowd and said, you know what, I found a person that doesn't have a problem. You know what? The only one that ever never had a problem with Jesus Christ. And boy, I tell you, the crucifixion seems like a problem to me.
Amen.
See, I'm going to tell you something, folks. This world gives you trouble. And we're going to be destined to have that trouble. The question is, when you do something wrong, Brother Andrew, are you going to be willing and able to forgive yourself of that? You know why? Christ already has.
Yeah.
You understand that? We as humans, why do we feel that we're above Christ in forgiveness? I can't forgive myself that. Bless God, I'm going to hold on to it until I die. Then you're a fool. Because it's hard to serve Christ with guilt.
Yeah.
It's hard to serve Christ with doubt.
Right.
I made a statement this morning about Eddie Wilson. I believe it with all my heart. By the time he's done, I believe we're going to call him the greatest youth pastor Bethel has ever had. I believe that with all my heart.
He might be right.
But don't tell me he hasn't had problems.
Oh, definitely.
But he is, as long as he's able to look past his past and move on to his future, forgiving himself of what he has done. How many in here have never made a stupid mistake? The only one that raised his hand was Jimmy Furness. And let me tell you something, Judy went just like this. Hey, you ruined your batting average right there, brother. Raising your hand, it was a stupid mistake. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We live in a day and age, and I know this may not be a rootin' tootin' message, but let me try to help your lives. You've got to get past your past.
Amen.
You've got to decide in your heart that you're going to serve God anyhow.
Amen.
You've got to decide with your life, yeah, I know I was a drunkard. I understand that. I know I didn't do everything right that I should have done. But God, bless God, he can use me anyhow.
Amen.
He can use you to do amazing things. I tell you, I look at my brother-in-law. I love my brother-in-law. And I know, and we all know that David and I have both made mistakes in the past. I love him with all my heart. I had to come to a place of being willing to forgive and draw in somebody. See, you got to understand, this is a shortcoming of mine. Forgiveness is a shortcoming of mine that I have battled and battled and battled to get a handle on. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The hardest life in the whole wide world, I believe, is a preacher's kid. And I'm not saying that because I am one, but I believe it's the hardest life in the world because you are looked at for no reason. You are looked at to be better than everybody else for absolutely no reason. There's no reason you should be better than anybody else. No reason. So we have to come to a place in our life where we're willing to forgive ourselves for the past that we led before we came to this place. And if we're able to forgive ourselves, I think it'll help us to forgive others. The first person we got to be able to forgive is ourselves. When you look in the mirror, do you like what you see spiritually? Are you a person that has long suffering and forbearing for each other? Are you willing and able to grab a hold of somebody's hand and shake their hand and say, you know what? I forgive you. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to do my best to help you. When's the last time you put in your mind that you're going to help somebody, even though they don't deserve it? That's forgiveness. That's deciding that you're going to forgive somebody. Yourself is the first one. The second one you've got to learn to forgive is others. This isn't so hard. In matter of fact, out of all the ones in the Christian walk, forgiving yourself, I believe, is hard. The last one's hard. The middle one seems to be the easiest, to forgive others. Because when you forgive others, Alicia, it's almost like you owe them something and they owe you something after you've forgiven them. It's a payment. You forgive me? Oh, yes, I do. Now you owe me something later on. That's the way we look at it, isn't it? Come on. Come on. I'm hitting home. I believe I'm hitting home. Yeah, I forgive you. And later on, I'm going to call in that forgiveness and you'll owe me a forgiveness. OK, let me tell you something. That's Bobby. You hang around me long enough, you will have to forgive me sometime. I promise you. I have so much fun with Grandma Sue and the rest of the boys back there. I have so much fun. I guarantee you, if they didn't know I was kidding, I have to tell them over and over. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. If I don't tell them that, I'm afraid that someday they're going to have to forgive me for being who I am. See, folks, you got to understand something. You will not last in this church long if you aren't willing to forgive people.
Right.
Matter of fact, let me put that one step further. If you're not willing to forgive others, you will not last long in the human race.
Amen.
You will live a life of one important thing that we'll get to in a minute, that forgiveness is the dam of a river.
Yes.
And on the other side of the dam is the lake of bitterness.
Yeah, there you go. Come on, there it is.
Okay.
Yes.
If you don't use forgiveness to hold all that water back, you can have a whole big lake of forgiveness, or you can let the dam bust out and have a whole lake of bitterness. By the way, there is nothing in between those two. If you don't forgive somebody, you will eventually get to bitterness. Did you know I looked the word up, bitterness, in the dictionary? Did you know bitterness means extreme enmity? If you've taken the Romans class, you know what enmity means. Enmity means greater than hatred. And knowing that it's greater than hatred, bitterness is a cancer that eats inside your body. I've had it. I've had the cancer, folks. I've had the bitterness. It's no fun. See, you can say what you want to say. I lay my heart. Every time I get up to preach, I lay my heart out. Because I am literally, I am flesh. I am just so clay. There's nothing here that God could possibly use, yet He still does. And what you've got to understand is this. You've got to come to a point in your life when you realize, one, I've forgiven myself for who I am. Use me anyhow. Then the second thing you got to be willing to do. Well, the Bible says that if you delight in the law and you not be offended, something of that nature, okay? You shouldn't be offended if you love His law. Well, eventually you're going to be offended. And eventually you've got to forgive. You've got to come to a place where you forgive people. You've got to come to a place where no matter what they do, you decide to forgive. No matter how bad it gets, you decide to forgive. No matter how bad that they, whatever they say about you or whatever they do to you, you still forgive. Because if you live your life in bitterness, you will die an early death.
Yeah.
If not physically, certainly spiritually. How can you serve God with bitterness? How can you do it? So you got to understand, there's two people you got to forgive. You've got to be able to forgive yourself, and you've got to forgive others. Look at Matthew 18 real quickly. And I want to explain another key of forgiveness. The Bible says in verse 21, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And what we've been taught, and I believe this is correct, if you give him forgive him 490 times, you'll forgive him 491. But lay a hold of this. The forgiveness that you're reading about there is not a forgiveness for the person that's doing something to you. Now, don't turn me off. I've been at this place. Let me try to help you. The forgiveness when you forgive somebody that's done something badly to you is not for them. That forgiveness is not for them. Remember when I said the other side of forgiveness is bitterness? If you leave it inside of your heart. Now, this is the thing you got to understand. I'm going to get to a point at the end of the message that will clarify this a little bit. But you got to understand something. When you forgive somebody, you do that for you. You do that for your heart. Whether they accept it or not, you do it for your sake. You do it to let them know, Brother Tom, and you don't even have to let them know. Did you know that? You can forgive somebody who maybe doesn't even know that they did anything wrong to you. That happens a lot, by the way, and the scripture tells us we ought to take that to the person and get it straightened out. If you've got something against somebody, you better get it straightened out. Because you know what? Here's the thing. If somebody's done something to you and you're not ready to forgive them, you're not ready to tell them what they've done, again, bitterness sets in your heart. And if bitterness sets in, bitterness doesn't just stay small. Bitterness is a malignant tumor inside of your heart that grows and grows and grows and grows. And eventually, all that you can see is the bitterness. Being Christian is not easy, folks. And forgiving people is not easy. But you've got to be able to forgive people for you. Because if you can't forgive people for you, don't do it for them. I'll talk to you at the end about the circuit of forgiveness. There's a certain thing, and I'll get to this. You've got to understand about forgiveness to be a true, full forgiveness. But right now, let's understand that when you forgive people, you forgive them because it's something that your heart needs to finish. Your heart needs to let that bitterness go. Your heart needs to let that wrongdoing go. You don't care how they take it, Eddie. Because I've forgiven people before that said, I'm not doing anything wrong. But you still forgave them. And that sets your heart free. So you can set yourself free from that just by saying, I forgive you. Even if you don't accept it, I still forgive you. How many times should I do it? 70 times 7. You need to clean your heart out every time you can. About somebody's, and they may do it over and over and over and over and over and over and over. They may hurt you over and over and over and over, but bless God, you've got to learn to forgive them every time. Well, Brother Dave, they're driving me nuts. Most of us, that's a short trip anyhow. So knowing that, you've got to realize in your heart to be I'm a bigger person there. No, you're not. You're a sinner just like they are. But you're giving them a forgiveness that comes from God, not from you. And that helps you to clean out your heart of the bitterness that you'll eventually have against them if you don't forgive them. The third person you got to forgive is your enemies. Oh, man, that's tough. That's tough to forgive your enemies. Yeah. It's easy to forgive people you love. Andrew, if you ever did anything against me, I'd have no problem forgiving you because I love you. But if I had an enemy out there and I was having to forgive him, sometimes that's difficult. But you know what? You store up bitterness over an enemy quicker than you store up bitterness over a friend. And the greatest victory you can have is being able to forgive a person that's your enemy. It really is. So the three people that we've got to forgive, and I want to read you a scripture real quickly about your enemies. The three people we've got to be able to forgive is ourself, number one, others, number two, and your enemies, number three. Luke chapter 6 is where I want to go to quickly with that. Luke chapter 6. The Bible says in verse 27, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them which curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. That's a golden rule. Kids don't get that anymore. Do unto others as you have done unto you. And for if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love them that love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend unto them who have hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners and receive much again. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. He loved his enemies. Loved them. He came down and died for his enemies, just as he died for his friends. He died for Lazarus, whom he loved. He died for the disciple, whom he loved. He died for Mary. He died for John. He died for all of them. And he died for the Roman soldier that cursed him and smote him with the spear. He died for the ones that scourged his back. He died for the ones that put the crown of thorns on his head. He died for the ones that beat him and buffeted him. He died for the ones that plucked out his beard. He died for the ones that put the cross on his back. He died for the ones that forced him to go up to Calvary. He died for the whole audience that was there yelling out, "Crucify! crucify him, crucify him. He forgave them even in his last breath. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. He forgave even his enemies right unto his last breath. Do we have the ability to forgive our enemies? Well, Brother Dave, I'm not God. Amen. Me too. But we're supposed to forgive like he forgave. Do you know if we could live our life in a state of forgiveness? What a lovely life we would lead. Think about that for a minute. If we were able to forgive people that did wrong against us. Hey, when I was younger, I didn't have that ability. I really did not have that ability. It took a long time for me to learn to forgive first, ask questions later. It took a long time. I had one thing in my mind that I couldn't get out, that this person is supposed to know that they're doing wrong. They're supposed to understand what I'm telling them. They're supposed to realize and cry and do all these things. No, that's not true. You give out forgiveness to help you. You don't give forgiveness to help them. There's a circuit of forgiveness. The circuit is simply this. Forgiveness is not complete without one special ingredient. See, you can forgive somebody, Lizzie, but if they don't believe they're doing wrong, then the forgiveness is none effect to them. Doesn't matter, does it? If they don't believe they're doing something wrong, how in the world is it forgiveness for them? Because they don't know that they're doing wrong. I forgave somebody in my life over and over and over again. For years and years and years, I had to forgive this person for doing wrong and doing wrong and doing wrong. And something. And after being frustrated and upset with myself, I realized at this one moment, hey, you don't forgive that person for you, for them. You forgive that person for you. And now that you get that out of your heart and you realize that I got that bitterness out of my heart, then you realize that you're willing to work with that person and help that person to come to an understanding that they're doing wrong. The first part of forgiveness is for you. The second part is for them. But only on the other side of repentance. You can't have a circuit of forgiveness unless you've got repentance. You might say, well, Brother Dave, I don't believe you. I think you should just be able to forgive and that's the end of it. I would love to believe you, but I don't. And I'll tell you why. How many people did Jesus Christ forgive? All. How many people get to go to heaven? Some. Do you know why that is? Because they haven't completed the circuit of forgiveness. Christ forgives them all. He came down and died for them. And I'm sure there were times when it grieved Christ. When he looked out on the faces of the people and he saw them, Levi, and he said, I'm forgiving you. Why don't you understand that? I've come down to die for you. Why aren't you picking up on this? I am the King of Kings. Why don't you worship me now so you don't have to bow to me and go to hell later? I'm sure he said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do was the one thing that was on his mind. Please, enemies, come and believe in me. And although he offered the forgiveness, not many took it. Hold on to this now. The first part of forgiveness is for you. The second part is for them. But in between those two parts is a little spot called repentance. You don't get saved apart from repentance. Did you know that? You've got to realize that you're lost before you can be found. You've got to realize that you're a dirty, rotten sinner before you can be saved from Jesus Christ. You've got to realize that you've done things in your life that do not merit heaven, and there's nothing you can do to get yourself to merit heaven. You've got to come to that place where you're ready to say, I need you to forgive me. Amen. And then what happens? He's already forgiven you. Yeah. See, Christ lives in a world of forgiveness. He lives in a place where he's got a blank check of forgiveness. Whosoever will sign may come. Whosoever will come unto me, I will receive them. Whosoever shall call upon my name, I will no wise cast out. He has already written you a blank check of forgiveness, Brother Carl. All we got to do is call upon him. But we still do have to call upon him. And if we don't call upon him for his forgiveness, he can't forgive us. That frustrated me. I thought to myself, the other side of that, you know, I keep forgiving and keep forgiving. There's no change of life. I keep forgiving and keep forgiving. The people continue to do wrong. I keep forgiving and keep forgiving. And you would think that they would catch on that I was forgiving them and trying to make. You know what? That's not what it is. It's not you that has to make them catch on. It's themselves. And when they realize, don't be frustrated when you forgive somebody and they don't accept your forgiveness. Don't be frustrated when you forgive that brother and he comes back again and does the same thing. Don't be frustrated when you forgive that person. He comes back 490 more times and comes to you and says, I did the same thing again. Will you forgive me again? You say, yes, I will. Because forgiveness is something that you, it's exactly like a determined decision that you have to make in your life not to drink alcohol. Exactly like a determined decision. I'm not going to do drugs. The decision's already been made, is what I'm trying to say. You've already made the decision in your life, I'm going to forgive. I don't care what comes along my path, I'm going to forgive. Because if I can forgive, I can lead a life that is a whole lot better than having a whole lake of bitterness inside of me. I've got to be willing to live past myself and forgive myself for my past and forgive myself for what I've done wrong and forgive myself for what I'm going to do wrong. I'm a dirty, rotten dog, will be till I die. That's what some of you have to come to grips with. You are literally going to be a sinner until you die. And if you can come to grips with that, you've already made one step towards forgiving yourself. He knows who you are. Did you know that? Christ knows not only what you've done, He knows what you're going to do. Amen. And do you realize He's already forgiven you for that? He's paid it in full. You know what Christians have? Christians and non-Christians, the most difficult thing they have is future problems. How could He possibly have died for my future problems? I can see Him getting rid of my past, but how can He die for my future stuff? Because He's God. He knows. We don't know, but He does. And the next time you mess up, realize that God knew you were going to do that. Hit yourself on the head. Wish you'd had a V8. Forgive yourself and move on. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the Christian life is full of potholes. The Christian life is not a smooth life. It's not an easy life. And there's a lot of slip-ups along the way. And I tell you, I seem to find a lot of them. But glory to God, He forgave me of them. Yes. I can continue to serve Him. Yes. If you can forgive yourself, you certainly can help to forgive others for what they've done unto you. Yes. And if you can learn to forgive others. And by the way, let me challenge you this, folks. If you're harboring bitterness in your heart about somebody, and you've heard this over and over, don't harbor it any longer.
Yeah.
Don't harbor it any longer. I would challenge you tonight to get rid of it right up here.
Amen.
And if you've got an audience, somebody, the Bible says, leave what you were going to give God on the altar and go make it right. And then after you go make it right, then you can come back and give your gift to God. That's how important He holds forgiveness.
Right.
So if you've got an ought with somebody, take it to them and say, I forgive you. This is what you bothered me on. Because most of the time people look at you, I did not realize that I was bothering you and I'm sorry. But a Christian life is not the easiest thing. Then after you forgive, learn to forgive others, learn to forgive your enemies. They too need forgiveness. And I'll tell you, if you can forgive your enemies, your whole life will be so much nicer. Because then your enemies start to go away. How can they be mad at you, Tommy, when you keep forgiving them? Think about that for a minute. I hate you. I forgive you. I don't like you. I forgive you. I don't blame you, but I also don't forgive you. I also forgive you. See, if you can continue to forgive and continue to forgive, and don't worry about the saying forgive and forget. Well, that's not Christian to say. It's also not possible for you to do.
That's right.
See, people get hung up on this too. They get hung up on, well, I believe that we're supposed to forgive and forget what has happened. There's been things in my life that I've forgotten about. I will admit that. But let me explain something to you. The Bible does not require you to forgive and forget. It requires you to forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. And if you can hold on to the fact of forgiving and forgiving and forgiving and forgiving and forgiving, forgetting will come easier, but don't worry about forgetting. You may remember that sin. You may remember that thing against you. You may remember and recall what has happened. I got news for you. Somebody comes and hurts my family, I may forgive them, but I'll certainly not forget it. I certainly won't forget to not leave them alone with my family anymore. I certainly won't forget not to put my family in a position to be hurt again. I certainly won't forget that. And I don't think God wants you to. You don't need to get hung up on that. What you need to get hung up on is forgiving yourself, forgiving others, and forgiving your enemies. And realizing Don't feel bad about continuing to forgive and nothing happening. Don't forget. Don't feel bad about that. Because until that circuit of forgiveness has been completed, the forgiveness is for you. It helps you in your life. And then when that circuit is completed, oh, how wonderful it is to see a sinner come to repentance. Oh, how wonderful it is to see a sinner realize that he's done wrong and ask Christ to come into his heart and accept that forgiveness that Christ has so readily given him. It is also just as wonderful to see somebody accept your forgiveness and what a friendship is made. I'm telling you, my most mortal enemies in high school, when I ended up making up with them and making friends with them, we became the closest of friends. That's what happens in a Christian walk too. You forgive somebody, and when they finally do accept what they're doing is being wrong, oh, what a wonderful sight it is for them to realize what they've done and repent and thank you for your forgiveness. Forgive yourself. Be kind to yourself. This world's tough enough without you beating yourself up. Forgive others. They deserve it. This life isn't easy enough to not forgive others. They need it. Forgive your enemies. Boy, what a world we could live in if we had that. And don't become weary in well-doing. Always continue to forgive. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Amen.
Dear Lord, I beg you tonight. This is nothing new. Such a simple truth, Lord, but you pricked my heart about it so many years ago to learn how to forgive. And learn how to lead a life that would be fitting to you, and learn how to live a life the best I can being a Christian. And I believe forgiveness is a huge part of it. Lord, help us. Help us to realize that we have a job and an obligation to forgive. And help us to perform that duty as good servants would for Christ. I thank you again for the opportunity to stand in this pulpit. Thank you, Lord. Please bless these folks. Bless Bethel Baptist Church. I believe we're on a threshold of something great.
Yes.
I believe we'll cross that threshold in a great way if we can learn to forgive each other along the way.
Yeah.
Learn to live with each other along the way. And learn to forgive ourselves along the way.
Yeah.
Help us. Thank you so much for forgiving me and saving me. Lord, you're such a great God. We love you tonight. Be with us in a special way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, preacher.
With every head bowed and every eye closed, I've been in the ministry for over 25 years. And I've seen people that messed up with their life and they never got back into the service of God. Because they couldn't forgive themselves. I'm glad the Apostle Paul forgave himself for being a murderer to Stephen. I'm glad David the king, all the things he did, he had a man put in the front line so he'd get killed. I'm glad David forgave himself. I shared with a man a few weeks ago scripture from the book of Philippians. Forgetting those things which are behind. See, we let the past take our future down. Don't let the past take your future down for Christ. Forgetting Philippians 3:13 and 14. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward to the prize of the high calling. Satan would want to keep putting up, oh, you're no good. You can't be. No, you just let God, here I am. Use me any way you want.
Amen.
And then I've seen people that could not forgive. Brother David, I've saw bitterness. You talk about a lake of bitterness. Oh, my. I've seen people with great lakes of bitterness. And you know who gets destroyed? That person with the bitterness.
Yep.
They're miserable. They're tormented. maybe tonight. Some of you would say, preacher, I need to forgive myself. Pray for me. Anyone like that tonight? Yes, 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 sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. God bless you. I need to forgive myself. Maybe you need to forgive someone. Maybe you need to forgive somebody. Yeah, forgive somebody, not yourself, but maybe you need to. Who'd say, preacher, I need to forgive somebody. Pray for me. God bless you. Yes, yes. You know, tonight would be a great night. Just before we even sing, why don't we just come around, get around the altar and pray, God, help me forgive. This church will never grow forth. If we, listen, the bigger we get, the more people we're going to have and more personalities. And if we don't learn to love one another and forgive one another, we'll be stymied all the time. I'm glad Jesus loves us. We mess up so much. I'm glad He keeps forgiving me. Aren't you glad He keeps forgiving you? Tonight, maybe you'd want to come and just get around the altar and pray. You come. Come right now. Who'd like to come and pray? That's right. You just come. That's right. Just come. That's right.